for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
Well, welcome to Life Matters. This is your host, Mariah Wilde, founder of Family Link Foster Care and Adoption Agency, and I am just so very happy to be with you. I hope that you had an awesome day, but it is not over yet. Oh my goodness, our offices, we have a couple of offices, but our Family Link offices have been buzzing like bees. But you know what? We're so happy because we are finding some incredible homes for children. Just last night, we were working for hours, and I was so happy. It was during the Life Matters show. If you were listening last night, we were live and things were happening right in the middle of it, finding kids' homes. And then also not finding kids' homes because we had a sibling group of three, four, and six, and we just couldn't find them anywhere together. We do have some incredible families who are open to sibling groups of three, four, five, and even more, but they're full. And so we just couldn't find them a home together. It was so frustrating and so sad because, you know, during those times, I think about my own children and I realize that these children are just as important and just that we have to fight for a family, to continue looking for a family here, there, and everywhere as if they were our own kids and we didn't want them separated. The sad thing is, though, that we did have to separate them, and the oldest one had to go be by himself, and that makes our hearts sad. On one hand, we're happy because we know they're in really awesome families with Family Link, but on the other hand, we're really sad because we know that their hearts are even more broken. And so we are looking for families for children, families who have such a heart and a passion and a compassion, whether it's for volunteering, mentoring, fostering, or adopting. And you might just be in time because our next training class is tomorrow. It's not too late to register. You can contact us through familylinkkids.com. We also have a volunteer day at Legacy Ranch. You could come out, meet some of our team, just be a part of what we're doing. So we're renovating. We'll have a barbecue in the middle of the day. You can also find out about that by emailing us. Or you'll see an invitation on Facebook. If you friend me on Facebook, it's facebook.com/MariahWildeFamily all together. So today, you know, today is going to be a day about family. You might hear what I'm saying, but go, Mariah, you don't even know. I'm struggling with the family that I have. I don't know that I could even increase. Or you may be just considering having a family one day and see your friend struggling and go, I think that I'm going to need some extra help. Well, today, help is on the way. I'm so excited to introduce to you Dr. Lewis Alexander. Dr. Alexander, we had such a great time last time, and I know you have so much more wisdom and insight to share with our listeners. So welcome to Life Matters. We are going to have an awesome time. And last time, your daughter was even able to join us, and that was really fun. So as I like to say, the proof is in the pudding, and I know you can share with us some wonderful parenting tips as well as marriage tips from your personal experience as well as your professional. So welcome today.
Thank you very much. Well, how are you doing?
Oh, my goodness. It's already been incredibly busy, but I'm excited to slow down and learn from you and get to share with our friends and listeners. So why don't you share with those that weren't with us the other day, share with them a bit about your personal as well as professional background that we'll be pulling from today.
Well, I'm married to Lacey, and we've been married a little over 28 years, and we have three adult children. Our oldest son is married, and then my daughter was on with us last time. Rachel's 25, and she is the oldest. And then our youngest son is 21, and he's a college athlete, junior year. And I am currently working with Intimate Life Ministries. I've been with the ministry for about 18 years, doing a variety of different roles, at times counseling, other times doing corporate training, and a variety of different venues and settings.
So When you're doing
glad to be on with you again today. I'm a little bit, I got a little bit of a head cold, so.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Shrugging a little bit. That's all right. Glad to be here.
I was going to say, you don't sound exactly the same, but okay. That's a great day to be on the radio. Exactly. So when you're counseling families, what are some of the very common themes of challenge that you've seen counseling families over the years?
Well, one of the common things, you know, that families, particularly parents, encounter is as you know, generally parents don't get a parenting rule book on how to raise your children. You know, I didn't get one when, you know, we started having children. And so there's always these doubts and questions about, you know, how do we know we're doing well? You know, what are some of our markers? And so that's one of the common things, is just helping parents have some goals in their parenting and some watermarks to know, you know, how am I doing and what am I shooting for at different stages in my child's life. And so that's oftentimes a big one that I like to talk about, if that's something that you'd be interested in chatting about a little bit.
Yeah, that makes sense, because I feel like we have to do intentional parenting, because if we don't, and I know you might relate to this or some of your clients have, you get up, you get the kids out the door for school. You're like, rush, 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 hurry, hurry, hurry. You're going to be late. In fact, my son, Benjamin, you know, he told me this morning, he's 16. He said, just so you know, if I'm late one more time, I'm going to have suspension. I'm like, oh, well, that's not good. Don't be late. So the mornings are not usually a time of relaxation, at least in my experience. And so you rush to get the children out the door. And then if you work, if both families work, then or both parents, then you're focused on getting your work done. And then you're like, oh my gosh, it's 5 o'clock and I haven't even thought about dinner. And so then you're going to think about dinner. And then you're going to think about, oh my goodness, I don't know if the kids have had bath in the last couple of days. So again, I definitely need to do that. That's part of good parenting. And then you're like, oh no, so-and-so doesn't want to go to bed tonight. And they're crying. Why can't I stay up? And then you might even have a PTA meeting that night. And then you fall into bed and you go, oh my gosh, I'm going to get up and do it all over again tomorrow. Are those some days? Have you had any days like that? And do you, some of your clients have some days? Because I think if we're not careful to do intentional parenting, then we can just have a whole lot of days like that until the kids are out of the house and we go, wait, what happened? All the great things I planned to do, all the things I wanted to teach them, all the fun things we wanted to do, we never quite had time.
Yeah, intentionality, I think, is really important. Well, I appreciate you bringing that word in. So having these watermarks sometimes can help parents know what they're actually targeting. Sometimes we talk about, you know, these markers at 6, 12, and 18 that we're kind of looking at parenting in the big picture of things and having a vision about it, so that we're not just, you know, constantly feeling overwhelmed by the daily things. You know, we also have this, we're able to look at the forest and not just, you know, be caught up with the trees. And so by the age of 6, you know, we really want to impart obedience to them. You mentioned, you know, there is this need for bedtime, you know. And it really is helpful to have structure in a home. And so we're teaching our children by the age of 6. We're hoping that by that watermark in their life, they know how to obey. They know how to do what they're supposed to be doing. And, you know, when they're told to do it. And, in fact, you know, Rachel was on, my daughter was on previously, and I remember having that as a goal for her to obey saved her life when she was a little girl. I remember at that time I was at St. Edward's University on their campus, and I was doing some work on their campus, and my wife brought the three kids up to meet me at the university. And I remember Rachel, when she saw me, was really excited to run to me. And this, she was about 5 years old. And she was running through the parking lot to me, and there was a car coming, Mariah. And Rachel was, you know, small and couldn't see over the other cars, but I could see a car coming. And I yelled at her, stop. And she stopped right in her tracks. And her obedience actually saved her life at that moment. You know, of course, she started crying. She had no idea why I yelled at her. But it was one of those things that really saved her life. And I mean, that's kind of an extreme example, but really trying to teach our children obedience is an important thing for their benefit. And so that would be kind of one of those important watermarks, is to teach them to obey, to do what they're told to do.
Now, it's very possible we have somebody listening that goes, well, I hate to tell you, but I have a 10-year-old, and I don't think we're quite there at the obedience. And so if we've missed that watermark already, and our kids are six and are over six, can you share with us how can we get back to that point? Because I do think about that too, because my youngest now just turned three. And I think about that often, because when I say come, he often goes. And when I say stop, he often runs. And he thinks it's really funny. But in my head, I know exactly what you're talking about. I know that we could be somewhere. And even though, like, maybe his sister's trying to hold his hand, but he breaks free and it's a parking lot, literally their life could be on the line. But also could be their spiritual life one day on the line. And so what are some things that we can incorporate, actively incorporate into our family to help bring back that obedience? And I'll give you a couple of minutes to really think about that, because we need to take a quick break. But would you give everyone your website, that during this break that they can kind of browse through some of the different resources available?
Yeah, if they go to committed.net, that's a good website for them to look at different resources, committed.net.
Awesome. And you can also go to familylinkkids.com. While you're there, make sure you read the vision for Legacy Ranch. When I wrote that, it really was a vision. I had no idea where it would be. Guess what? Now we do know. We own the property. One of our offices has moved there. Children and families will be moving very soon, and we're renovating the houses for them and also getting ready for camps and retreats. In fact, tomorrow is a volunteer day there. So if you're listening, if you have plans you can cancel tomorrow, oh my gosh, it would be so awesome for you to come in and sow into the vision, meet some of our team, meet some of our families, help get ready for this, for the incredible miracles that will be happening at Legacy Ranch. You can find out more about that at familylinkkids.com. Also, to connect, I have it open right now. You can friend me on Facebook. It's facebook.com/MariahWildeFamily. We'll be right back with Dr. Lewis Alexander.
Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
Welcome back to Life Matters. This is your host, Mariah Wilde, founder of Family Link, and we are in the middle of exciting times finding children's homes. Even right now, I was texting during the break, working on that. But, you know, when the children come, whether they're foster care, biological, adoption, I would say that obedience is one of the number one things that families struggle with. I was just telling my children something I know that you teach, Lewis, and that is delayed obedience is disobedience. Because, you know, kids will say, not right now, or they will just say, mm-hmm, and then they forget hours later, oh, I totally forgot. And so maybe we should start off at the younger age. And then let's work up to, if we do already have a disobedient 10-year-old or even 15-year-old, what can we do? Because they're totally different things. So let's start at the ages of, how about three, since I have a 3-year-old and I need help. So what are some, how can we teach disobedience? Let's just say right around that age of a young 3-year-old, for example, like Donovan.
Yeah, and again, it does kind of lead into this whole idea of discipling our children, or how we provide discipline in their lives. And we have to kind of take a step back to say, how are we doing at that? You know, this whole leadership and modeling is so powerful and important. And so what are they seeing? You know, what are they seeing in terms of our own accountability about who we're becoming, how we're relating, we're accomplishing? And so it really comes back oftentimes to us as the leader in trying to model for them the appropriate obedience at all levels, and then knowing your child, which relates to intimacy, and providing them the proper instruction at that particular age appropriate, as well as not only what to do but how to do it, is an important part of leading them to obedience. Same would apply even for an older child is, you know, you hold the standard. You kind of have to look at what's being modeled and what you're modeling for them. And then providing at times correction when they have disobeyed.
And so there's
a few things that throw out at whatever age.
Yeah, well, let's take a child who I think 10 is a good middle age. And really, it's not that they're, and of course, none of us would ever want to label a child, but it's not like they're a, quote, bad child. It's just, you know, like, for example, could be from my own home, could not be. What if, let's say, mom says, hey, Christina, all the other kids are gone. It's just you and me. But, oh, my goodness, the kitchen is a mess. Let's work together to clean it up. And then she were to say, oh, that's actually not my chore. And so I don't want to. And so, and then she essentially won't do it because she doesn't feel like it's her chore, but mom feels like she really that's just something that needs to get done because everybody else is gone and we need to do it together. Now, how would you address that? And what might be a good way for a parent to sit down with a child and really, sometimes I even heard, and I've done it myself, is just apologizing for allowing them to get away with disobedience, but explaining that today is going to be a day of change, and here's how we're going to do it from now on. How can you help us through that type of conversation if a family's like, it's not that I want disobedient children, I just know that they kind of have an attitude, they're not being respectful, and they don't understand that when I give instruction, they really are to do it. What would be a good way? Just kind of walk us through modeling a conversation. You could just, you talk as if this was the child. What should we, how can we kind of reverse the trend and move back towards obedience, which is actually much better. We need to do that for the health of this child, their physical and emotional and spiritual safety, really.
Yeah, and I appreciate you bringing up, again, back to the parent responsibility of taking ownership for what they need to own as a parent. If we haven't done a good job at setting standards or bringing our child into obedience, and as that is a character trait, then we can own that, apologize for that, and talk about, you know, that mom, dad, you know, going forward, we're going to be holding you accountable to a life of obedience as we're seeking to be persons of obedience ourselves. So that's a good starting place is through that confession. So speaking to a 10-year-old, you know, sweetheart, dad hadn't done a good job of holding you accountable, and I want to continue to have a lifestyle of personal and professional accountability, and so I'm going to be accountable, and I'm going to hold you accountable to be obedient. And then, you know, additional sentences, if you're needing help in the moment, then it may be appropriate for you to put a need on the table. You know, dad needs support right now. Mom's coming home. She likes a clean kitchen when she comes home from being away over the weekend. And dad needs your support, you to come alongside me. I'll wash. Can you dry? I need you to dry. Not can you, but I need you to dry. Mm-hmm. And so you're just trying to be clear in your communication. If you've never taught the child how to dry dishes, then that's a good time for some instruction and mentoring on how to do that.
And so what if the child listens to you and says something like, Dad, yesterday you said that I could play with Christina down the street and she's going to have to go inside at 6, and so this is my only time. I need to be able to go play with her right now.
You know, then you kind of institute that old win-win rule. You know, when we're done with the dishes, then you can go. And you're trying to then point to another marker. I think, Mariah, at age 12, you want to try to have your child be responsible, not only to do what they're supposed to be doing when they're told, but to actually do what they're supposed to be doing when they're not even told. So if it's, you know, my child's responsibility to help with dishes or to either wash them or dry them or unload the dishwasher or load the dishwasher, We teach them that that's part of their duty and responsibility within the family system. And so even at age 10, you can foreshadow that being a character trait that a child develops. Is now by 12, you're hoping that they are doing what they're supposed to be doing without being told. That's really what responsibility is. And then affirming that when you do catch them doing that. I still remember when Nathan, my oldest son, was probably about 10 years old, and trying to teach him about, okay, that is your cereal bowl, that is your box of cereal that you got out of the pantry, that's the milk you got out of the refrigerator. So when you're done eating, take everything to the kitchen, rinse it out, and put it in the dishwasher. And I still remember being, you know, sort of shocked the day that I saw him actually taking his cereal bowl, washing it out of the sink, putting it in the dishwasher, the spoon in the dishwasher, the milk back in the refrigerator, and the cereal box in the pantry. And, I mean, I had to affirm him. It was very important that I affirmed him for his responsibility. And I think I got down on my knee, looked him in the eye, and really just spoke, you know, right to his heart to say, it means a lot to Dad that you demonstrated responsibility. Because that was something I had trained, you know, modeled for him or showed him how to do, and then saw him actually doing it, and it was real important that I celebrated that.
See, some people listening, especially if they're not a parent, might think, is that really that big of a deal? Yeah, because a lot of kids will just leave it on the counter. And the whole thing you always hear is, oh, I forgot. Oh, I was in a rush. Oh, this happened. Or they think they're doing a really great job if they just put it in the sink or barely rinse it off. So the fact that your son was showing that responsibility is important, because then it may be following through when they're mowing the yard and doing it appropriately versus, you know, chopping down all your plants. Is that carefulness, is that diligence, or maybe even running the mower over their sister because they're not paying attention. So it oftentimes does come back to safety, you know? And so it can go, the skills that you're teaching, even to put things away, to do things appropriately. And I think we have to remember as parents that if we allow our children to be disrespectful and to be lazy, then this could haunt them essentially the rest of their life, because this will be the same child who their bosses who are disrespectful to their bosses at maybe their first job. So then they lose their job, and they could send them on a path of job after job after job of instability and insecurity, even as they possibly try to support a family. Or they could be someone who's been raised with respect, raised to do a job well, to do all things with excellence. If they start in the home, and I try to teach my children that, you know, what you do here, your ministry first off is in the home, and then we have ministry within our foster children and with Family Link, and then one day you will have a job and a family and all the things, and who knows, you could have a huge ministry, but God says you have to be faithful in the little things first to see what he can trust you with later. And so teaching our children to be faithful in the little things could literally change the destiny and course of their life. So what we're talking about is really important. And so when you look at age 12 and even 13, as they're entering into some teenage years, you have led your own children successfully through the teenage years, as well as I know many other families. What are some things that you're really looking at, even at maybe between 10, 11, and 12, because a lot of children are advancing a little early. What are some things that a family can do to really create a foundation for a successful teenage years?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, you see your children make, and none of this, you know, there's no rule book, as I said, on all this. It's you're just looking for evidence of increased obedience, increased responsibility, because where you're headed by, you know, the time they launch and leave the nest is really working on attitude. And not only doing what they're supposed to be doing without being told, but doing it with a good attitude. So really trying to model that for them yourself, you know, by all that we do out of gratitude to the glory of God, and just really trying to teach that and lift that up as a value, that we're going to do things with a good attitude, and we reinforce attitude, you know, and we reward, you know, attitude, and we want to try to model good attitude. So that's something that we really, I think, can start working in our teenagers, because as you would know, that can oftentimes be an issue with teenagers. I think I mentioned that definition of a 16-year-old last time we talked, you know, terrible two times eight plus a driver's license. At times, you know, it can feel like that as a parent.
That's funny. I actually don't think you could give us that description. I just wrote that down. That's pretty funny. When we come back from this break, I'd love to hear, what do you mean by it starts with the parent's attitude? And I feel like sometimes people think it's bad news that I have to share on Life Matters, but it really does all start with you, because I feel some parents want to be stressed out. Well, they don't want to be, but they are. And they're modeling kind of stressed out, maybe a little angry, just upset with life, maybe their job, maybe their kids. And yet they're also mad that their kids aren't happy and helpful and just being obedient. That's not what you're modeling. A stressed out parent's definitely going to have a stressed out child. An unhappy parent more than likely is going to have an unhappy child. And so it really does start with us. That's kind of the good news and the bad news. It's kind of bad news, but on the other hand, it's good news, because guess what? We can change ourselves. And so I guess in a way, it's good news. And so when we come back, let's talk more about that, what our lifestyle, our attitude as parents can actually change everything within the entire household. So we'll be right back with Dr. Lewis Alexander. Definitely check out committed.net, their website. You'll see other resources on there and probably events coming up. You can also go to familylinkkids.com. That's our website. Read the vision. Go to Legacy Ranch Vision. This is a great time to sow into it. Oh, my goodness. Your donations are needed. Help us help more children. We're working right now on over 100 children separated in San Antonio just in the last few months, because there were not families for these children to be together. And so they're crying. They're desperate. Some of them are desperate to be with their siblings, even up to 8 kids. So that's why we have pressure. We're time sensitive, trying to get Legacy Ranch open for these sibling groups and then for other children, maybe with some medical needs, some extra challenges that essentially nobody else wants. We won't tell them that, but that's true. And so so this is a great time. We have a volunteer day tomorrow and just about every weekend for quite a while. It's an awesome time to bring your family down, a church group down, pour into Legacy Ranch, because the children are worth it. It's a missions trip, but you don't even have to go across the world. Maybe just a couple hours away, or even an hour away, depending on where you're coming from. So we'll be right back with Dr. Lewis Alexander.
Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
Welcome back to Life Matters. This is your host, Mariah Wilde, founder of Family Link. And it is an exciting time at Family Link. We just found 6 children, families. Oh, that is always warms my heart. And that's just within a couple of hours. I don't even know what's going to happen overnight. But we are racing to catch up with the need for children who need families. So, but you know what? When they come, we also then have the challenge and also privilege, though, of raising them. And I have found that one of the biggest distinctions between a good foster parent and a bad foster parent is attitude. And the same goes for biological parents. And I imagine the same goes for husbands and wives. It's the attitude. It's the heart. And so share with us right now, how could we even look at ourselves, maybe even tonight, and do an assessment of where we are with our attitude and how that may be affecting our family and what we can do to change?
Well, that's good. I appreciate you bringing it up. And then we will talk about some things additionally that we can do to help our tweeners, you know, those who are between 11 and 13, get a good running start on developing good attitude. I think the thing that oftentimes, as you mentioned, that steals a good attitude from us is just getting caught up with our own stress and lack of peace and calm in our lives. And so having our own times of solitude where we just have the margin time to get away and just have some solitude and even have some of these awe moments where maybe it's getting up early enough to see the sunrise, you know, and having an awe moment, realizing, okay, I think stuff's bigger than me. And, you know, God's not about to fall out of the sky. You know, it's really, life's not one big crisis right now. And, or, you know, take the time to sit up at night and look at the stars, you know, and have this awe moment, or get in the Word and realize, wow, you know, God's pretty cool to provide this for me, His Word. You know, some of those kind of experiences, or read some really cool testimonies or miracles about, you know, really cool stuff happening, God doing some amazing things, so that we ourselves are taking time to have some awe moments, because those are what oftentimes can refresh us and help us strengthen ourselves with a good attitude.
So maybe it's almost like stepping outside of your everyday, what some people may feel is, you know, intensity, running here, running there, just stepping away, taking a deep breath, thanking God for everything that is good in your life. And even your children, when they're a challenge, oh my goodness, if they weren't with you, life could be devastating. And so just, it's really coming with an attitude of gratefulness. And I, sometimes it helps me, and I tell others, your worst day would be, could be another person in a third world country, their very best day in their entire life. And so we want to appreciate, start, if you start with an attitude of appreciation, everything gets better, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And
it's
so
so,
then as you,
so true.
And as you begin to encourage yourself, so you're encouraging yourself, you're strengthening yourself in the Lord, you're realizing the joy of the Lord is my strength. If you get the entire package, what we just talked about in a few minutes, that will strengthen you for this next part of helping create a good attitude, helping your own children create a gratefulness. I know a lot of times children in our society, it's in America, it's give me, give me, give me, give me. And I just saw this commercial. I want that new toy. I want that new four-wheeler. I want that new Xbox game. And so talk to us about that tween years, creating a basis of launching into teenager.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the cool things you can proactively do, and this is back to your word, how we started the program, intentional parenting, is with each of my three, I had this rites of passage where in those tweener years, 12 or 13, it varied with each of the children, I had a special time where with my two boys, I got some of my friends that have been important in my life, some of my mentors, and then a couple of their friends, and we had a special evening, and we just called it a rites of passage or a blessing. And I asked all my friends, the friends that came, about a half a dozen friends, to write letters. So with Nathan was my first one that I did it with. You know, write a letter to Nathan affirming the character, Christ-like character development that you're seeing happening in him or that you want to call out in him. And we had an evening at his favorite restaurant, and we went there. And I also had my friends bring a symbolic gift to symbolize that character trait they were calling out in him or that they wanted to affirm in him. And so we're affirming character. We're affirming the positive aspects of who they are, because that does impact how they relate and what they accomplish. And so we were really trying to lift that up and call it out. And those were very special times of, you know, where you can get meaningful touch and words of high value about their character and hope for their future, and a commitment of presence, which was all part of the blessing. When we're talking about the Hebrew concept of blessing, and we were able to impart that to Nathan and then to Aaron, and did a special time with my daughter Rachel as well. We were affirming things about who they are and trying to teach some of those traits that are going to help them be successful. As you mentioned, later in the workplace and in marriage and parenting themselves and in life in general.
And so
that can help set a good attitude. Yeah.
Absolutely. What age, around what age were your kids when you did this?
12 or 13. I did a little bit older with Rachel, I think with the boys as they were transitioning into middle school, knowing all the challenges, pressures, temptations, you know, mm-hmm. social, athletic, academic, all those pressures they were going to be facing, that they needed a good launch pad for that. And so it was around that time for them. Rachel just a little bit older, and for her, you know, part of that time was a ring that I gave her, a purity ring, and she wears it to this day, and it's pretty amazing, you know, just to keep her life pure. And it was just kind of a special thing that I gave her, and you know, she's not yet married, you know, it's like I'm her guy until the right guy comes along. And so we still kind of have that, you know, special connection with, you know, her still looking to me for, you know, a lot of guidance and direction and wisdom, even though we're in an adult relationship now, in a sense. She's a young adult. She still looks to her dad, you know, and that, mm-hmm. that's still pretty touching to me and humbling to me that she would do that. But I think it goes back to that moment when, you know, sort of call that out in her. I'm looking forward to her finding a husband and handing that over to some responsible man.
But
so
even
I'm
then,
she's ready for that.
Yeah. Well, even then, though, the mom and dad relationship is so important. So most of my parents' children are married.
You have a great parents there, and you have a great relationship, I know, with none. That's
yes.
Awesome.
And so I've been married for ever, a really long time. And yet my parents' advice, their wisdom, someone to just share, you know, they know just about everything going on at Family Link, and they were a huge part of our launch and working with us. And their support, their prayers, like it never is over. And then I'm thinking too of now none of my kids are married, but my oldest is almost 20, which is amazing. And that mother-son, my husband's relationship, it's what your children need, families, which is, by the way, why we're continuing so hard to find these children who are teenagers who need parents, because we know how our kids so need us. We know how we need our parents, and yet we're parents of teenagers. And so the need for a family is never over. And so that's why we never give up for these teenagers who are desperate for a family. They don't want to live life without the relationship that you're talking about right now. They don't want to be out there without an anchor, wondering, should I take this job? What should I try to go to college? What degree should I get? They just need help. They need support. The advice that you're sharing about, our kids, our foster children who are waiting to be adopted, or even waiting in a shelter for a foster family, they're desperate for it. So that's why it's another reason why it's so important what we're talking about today. But let's go back to that blessing. Can you give us, people go, well, okay, that sounds good, but they have no idea how to actually do it. Can you actually model for us, pick one of your kids and share with us how you would do it?
Okay, so if you can imagine, you know, I wanted to create, you know, start creating, and I'll tell Nathan, he was the first one that did it. The vision for this. And so I started talking about this probably 6 months, maybe even a year in advance. Just kind of casting a vision for it. When you turn such and such, I think it was his 13th, around his 13th year, and it really doesn't matter the year. Even older children appreciate this or can value this after they experience it. I've even done it with adults who'd never really got the blessing, but I think it was Nathan. It was about 13, and we picked his favorite restaurant, steakhouse. And I think I had six of my friends and mentors there, and they had each written a letter to him, and they each came with a symbolic gift. And I let off and I set the context of, you know, this being a part of rites of passage and some of the historical, you know, from the Hebrew roots in the Old Testament, of the value of touch and words of praise and high value, and kind of giving a vision or a hope for the future to the child, and a commitment of presence. You know, I'm gonna be with you through the various stages and trials of life. And I asked these other men to make that similar commitment, you know, to him. And then I began to speak words of Nathan. I picked out particularly the meaning of his name. His name, Nathan, comes from the Hebrew word Nathan, which means he gave. And anybody who knows Nathan today knows that he gave. You know, he's just, you know, he's very passionate about social justice and the homeless. And I think, again, that's the roots of that began with people imparting life and calling out character. And so we just went around the table and spoke into his life about his character, and I spoke about his servant's heart and his giving, and gave even stories from very early age when he would do that for other people. And, you know, then gave him a symbolic gift, and as did others. Like, I think one of my pastor friends there brought a bowl and a towel and talked about his servant's heart and gave him this. And a friend of mine, Nathan, helped put his yard in, and my friend actually had a patch of grass from where Nathan had put the yard in, and I think a football card, because Nathan had played football, of like Emmitt Smith. And Emmitt Smith, you know, shared the story of Emmitt Smith helping to win the Super Bowl for the Cowboys or something. I don't know. Anyway, it was just stories and speaking into his life and affirming him. And Nathan still has some of those. Each of my boys still have some of those symbolic gifts from that meaningful time. And so it's just a real special evening. We probably carved out about 3 hours for that. You know, by the time we got there and ate and shared the stories, and it was just a meaningful time.
And so we were talking about just, you know, one evening, but it's an evening that your kids, as they grow, will always look back, and I bet they'll have a similar evening with their own kids. But it doesn't stop there. You actually do a shorter version of the blessing very often. And so if you can give us, what does that mean? Because you've mentioned meaningful touch, words of affirmation. But let's talk about it when we come back from a break. And we'll walk people through, because this could be something they could even do tonight before the kids go to bed. And you're listening to Life Matters. Make sure you check out Dr. Alexander's website, committed.net. There's resources on there. There's events coming up that you can participate in, and probably contact him through there as well. You can also go to familylinkkids.com. We'd love to hear from you. Oh, I so encourage you to take what you're learning today and apply it. It's, you know how it is even at church, sometimes you go, oh, that's so good, and then you forget later. I hope that you are taking notes, and I hope that you will impart today, even today, the blessing that we're talking about right now when we come back. Also, friend me on Facebook. That's a great way to stay in touch. We'll tell you about events, tell you about guests coming on the show, prayer requests, things like that. So it's facebook.com/MariahWildeFamily, and we'll be right back.
Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
Welcome back to Life Matters. This is your host, Mariah Wilde, founder of Family Link Foster Care and Adoption Agency, and I'm here with Dr. Lewis Alexander. And so you were sharing with us about the blessing, and we just talked about how you can even take an evening of really helping a child transition, an evening that's planned out ahead of time, a special evening they'll never forget, to transition into the teenage years. But what would be a great blessing that we could even give our kids tonight?
Yeah, I oftentimes will start with a list of character qualities, and you can usually Google and find lists out there. And if you want to email me at lewis@crleadership.com, I'll send you the list of 30 character qualities that I have and that I use. I've got a lot of them memorized now. So, but just basically, you're trying to affirm character that you Christ-like character that you see in your child. And speak words that edify, and try to, you know, practice that Ephesians scripture that let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth, but only words that build up and edify according to the need of moment, that may give grace. And you're trying to give grace to your child, like Ephesians 4:29 says. And so you're speaking those words that edify, that affirm the Christ-like character that's actually in them. So find a list of character qualities and start just saying, oh, yeah, that's my child. That one's my child, too. That one's my child. And just tell your child, you know, speak the truth in love to your child about the qualities that you see. And, you know, thank God. If you want to just thank God together, you know, that God's doing that in them. In a prayer, that would be a good way too. And all this is really, you kind of teach them, you know, to do what they're supposed to be doing without being told, with a good attitude, ultimately for the benefit of others. And by the time you launch, their motivation is really to do all that like you're doing, Ryan, to benefit others. And so that's why we want to do what we're supposed to be doing with a good attitude, for the benefit of others. That's the motivation.
And so
we want to call that out when we see it.
And so what we're talking about, really, it all comes down to children who might turn 18 or 19, 20, who just go, life is all about me. I'm just going to party. I'm going to, yes, maybe I'm going to go to college, but I can get a part-time job, but just kind of lazing around life, not even having a purpose and a destiny. But yet, that's not what we want for our kids. So that's not what Dr. Alexander wants for his kids or for his clients' children. We want children who know that they have a purpose and a destiny, that they have learned to listen to the voice of their parents and also learn to listen to the voice of God and learned how to receive blessing, but then also learn how to give blessing. And if you appreciate these particular character qualities and also learn to develop more character qualities that they may be sufficient in, then they can be launched as an adult and really live out their great destiny, which requires diligence, which requires patience and kindness and all these wonderful character qualities, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so
that's
would
true.
You...
Yeah, I remember just thinking when Aaron, my youngest, was in high school, when his buddies would go down to the beach over spring break, he would go to Senegal and drill wells for kids who didn't, you know, in villages that didn't, remote villages that didn't have water. Oh. And he was a basketball player, so he'd always go to academy, buy a basketball, flatten it out, get a pump, put it in his suitcase, and then whatever remote village he went to, he would, you know, pump it up, teach the kids how to play basketball, and leave the basketball there. But, you know, he was investing in others, you know, sponsors kid in Africa. And so, you know, that vision comes from us developing, you know, helping our kids develop that attitude of, you know, benefiting others, very early. We're modeling mm-hmm. it for them. We're casting the vision for that, and hopefully as we help them launch, you know, we're seeing fruits of that more and more.
You know, and if you want children who are interested in benefiting others, then really you need to model that. But it's not just the parent leaving and volunteering. If you have children old enough, you can volunteer with your children. And that's one of the neat things about Family Link, because sometimes I think we've got to realize, if we want our children to turn out a certain way, are we modeling that for them? Do you want them to change the world? Well, are you? And so as a family, though, you could mentor foster children. So let's just say you are a mom and dad and you have three or four children yourself. Well, if you're going to take a Saturday to do something fun, maybe you could take some of our children with you. Go to the park, go out to eat, even just have a fun play day at home, play games, go outside and play soccer. Those are things that even our children, they love. So that's mentoring foster children. You can do that as a family, and that's a really neat ministry. You could also come out with your kids, with your college group, with your church group, with your friends, and plan a day to volunteer at Legacy Ranch. Oh, it's so neat that you could come, work with others, and prepare a place that will be used very soon, actually, within the next few weeks, for siblings to have homes, for children to come and have retreats. So I know sometimes as a parent, we'd go, but I can't volunteer at certain places with my family, and I don't want to leave my kids all the time. Well, the neat thing is that we are offering you a ministry that you can come and be a part of, even with your family. And of course, you would do foster and adoption with your family, but many of you listening might not be ready for that, and that's okay. but we want you to utilize the information that you received from Dr. Alexander today. And just know that wherever you are, you can take this and turn the ship around. I tell you what, I have been parenting now for 20 years, and I'm only 38, so that's a long, big part of my life. I guess more parenting than without children, huh? If you do the math. And so I've been parenting a really long time, foster parenting for almost as long. And I have to tell you, I'm still learning and growing. And there have been times when I'm like, oh my gosh, we got to turn this ship around. But I'm encouraged, and I know that I can do it like that. It's a decision a parent makes. You know what? I've let some things slide, but I'm turning this ship around. And so I want you to know, if you're feeling that way, going, oh my gosh, I'm behind all these things that they were talking about, it's not happening in my family. Well, you know what? You can start tonight. Start with a blessing. Start with affirming your children. Start with checking your own attitude and turning your attitude around and being so grateful for your life, being so grateful for your children, so grateful for your job. When you approach life with an attitude of gratefulness, all of a sudden the world looks sunnier and your children seem better. And so turn your attitude around, which will then turn your children's attitude around. You can turn your whole ship around with your family. And I know I've done it before many times. I bet you have too. Maybe you've always stayed on course, but I know that it can happen, and I've done it. I've helped other families do it, as has Dr. Alexander. So today is a day of hope. Take what you have learned, implement it tonight. We both would love to hear from you. And thank you so much for imparting your wisdom. I know there's so much more we can cover, so I hope to have you on again. But I want to tell you, thank you for this time. I've taken notes, so there's things that I plan on implementing, and I want to help our families. And I know that many other families will have helped just because of this time. But there's more help, though. You can go to committed.net. You can contact Dr. Alexander. You can schedule even appointments if you need some specific support and help with intentional parenting or even a crisis within your family. Their group is available to help you, and for that, I am very grateful.
Well, thank you so much for being a pioneer, too, and in ministry and making opportunities for children to oftentimes have a second chance. And that's awesome, Ryan. I appreciate your vision and heart for that.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know what? Together, we're a great team, so I know we helped some kids tonight. And we're just getting started. So thank you guys for listening. We both would love to hear from you. Don't forget to friend me on Facebook to know what's going on a more regular basis. It's facebook.com/MariahWildeFamily. We will be back with you guys tomorrow. Have an awesome night. And thanks so much, Dr. Lewis.